Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
All I think about when I hear this is the late, great Carl Bean saying, and now pitching for the Red Sox, Jonathan Papelbon.
The good old days over there, too.
Well, like, thinking back, I was so fortunate. I was at the 07 Sox team, obviously 2018, more wins, but God, that was a wagon. And that first round series against the Angels, they game three, I think it was the ninth inning, walk off, Manny Ramirez hit an absolute moonshot. Place went nuts. The ALCS that year against the Indians, down 3-1. Fausto Carmona, grand slam, J.D. Drew. The Sox loaded the bases in the bottom of the first. Nobody out. Then the next two batters get out. No runs. J.D. Drew was awful in 07, getting booed back when people were invested in that way. And they're about to get the squander it. You know, they're gonna lose the game. Game five, famously, in Cleveland, Jacobs Field, was when they had Josh Beckett's ex-girlfriend sing the national anthem.
Oh, yeah.
Then he shoved it down their throat. But that home run was about as loud as I ever heard Fenway Park. But Papelbon came in game seven. The place was just about to come unglued. Awesome. The good old days. Anyway, the Patriots offseason sucks. The Jets signed, what the hell is his name?
Tyron Smith.
Tyron Smith.
You are struggling with names this morning.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get the coffee down. The Jets.
Foggy.
The Jets get Tyron Smith, who was a left tackle that everybody was hopeful would arrive here, which would leave Onwenu at the right side, and you'd sort of take something that was a weakness, turn it into a strength. Maybe, you know, you draft a guard or whatever. But the offseason sucks. But the Calvin Ridley element of this I find to be noteworthy in that they're willing to extend themselves far beyond any point they have for a receiver in the Robert Kraft era, right? What was the top guaranteed dollar they had paid before offering $41 million to Calvin Ridley? Was it Randy Moss?
I mean, Moss signed whatever that was, $3 and $30 million back then.
So you're talking about unprecedented offer.
Yeah.
And you lose out by what, $6 million in guarantees? So what I believe to be happening, because the second they lost Calvin Ridley, why not take the flyer fourth-round pick for Keenan Allen? He doesn't have to want to come here. You don't have to convince him. You know, he's traded. He has to show up if he wants to get paid. That showed me that Calvin Ridley was all window dressing. They never were really serious. They were talking to the agent, as you talk to all agents. I'm sure they did their due diligence. They want to see what the price point was. Maybe they were trying to increase the cost for an AFC foe, all of which is fine. But don't tell me you were interested in truly signing the guy. And it was exactly a continuation of what we've seen in the dynasty, which is the appearance of something without any functional foundation from which to stand on. There is no reality to the fact that they're going to burn cash. They just aren't. And this, they're literally outside of trading for Justin Jefferson today or before the draft. What could they do that would actually be spending money on whoever's left?
Well, any of the trades, Justin Jefferson, T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk, any one of those guys, and then handing him $120 million or whatever the hell it would take, more than that probably for Jefferson, those would be in that world. Now, it doesn't seem they're doing that. I know everybody mocked Josina Anderson, her tweet right after Ridley, where she said, according to a source, they've now turned their attention to the draft. And everybody's like, or at least I shouldn't speak for everybody. My reaction was, wait a minute, you had one receiver and there's other options out there. You just totally give up Hollywood Brown, whoever you want to pick, Keenan Allen in a trade, Mike Williams now. But it feels like that's what they're doing. They've let all the tackles come off the board. They've let essentially all the wide receivers come off the board. There's Odell Beckham or whatever that I'm not really interested in out there.
No, thank you.
It feels like they are putting all their eggs in the draft and develop basket, like that Elliott Wolf has confidence that I'm going to go get a quarterback at 3, a tackle at 34, a wide receiver at 68, and you're going to watch me build this team the right way through youth and development and coaching. But
doesn't Elliott Wolf want to be successful?
You don't think that's a successful plan?
Well, but here's the
greatest draft in NFL history where you get a franchise receiver, a franchise tackle, and a franchise quarterback with your first 3 picks.
Right. Unlikely. You know, I mean, if you want to have a first round like the Pats did in 2012 where you take Hightower and Chandler Jones back-to-back, that'd be pretty good.
So to be fair, coming off last segment where I argued history be damned, there could be 3 elite quarterbacks in the top 3 picks. I guess I have to say history be damned, you could draft franchise receiver tackle quarterback in the first 3 rounds.
Right. I mean, the closest the Patriots drafting into a perfect draft was at the Ty Law. Was that Ted Johnson the same draft as Ty Law?
I believe so. There was a couple. There's one in the 70s. I mean, I know that was a long time ago. That's like ridiculous where I feel like they got Hannah, Nelson, like 3 legends,
right?
Future Hall of Famers.
So fast forwarding to now, the job of Elliott Wolf becomes easier. The flexibility expands if you do more today so that on draft day, you have your left tackle. You have your right tackle. You have your center. You have Calvin Ridley at receiver. You can, you know, then that puts everything back in more of a proper order where you have Bourne could be your 2. Then Pop Douglas is a 3.
The draft pick is in there
somewhere. The draft pick is in there and competing for starting job. You have Hunter Henry. Great signing. Smart move. You have a tight end there. You can draft another one. All the things that you're looking to achieve are still in play. And if you pick a great player, then you won't re-sign the guys that you already are paying. They will walk. You will use the rookie. Like it's not mutually exclusive. You can draft and pay. And today, they almost have to do both to remain compliant with the collective bargaining agreement where they are at the floor for a decade. Like, if you wanted Calvin Ridley and you offered him $60 million guaranteed, in what way would that damage your future?
No way at all. And especially in the position you're in, no one wants to get deep in the books, but you could front load the deal. You have so much cap space that you can front load the deal so that when you have to make a decision in 2 years,
it's not punitive.
It's all behind you.
Right.
All the money is behind you. I would also, because I was big on the he's not worth it, and I would sign him. Both of those things can be true. You can say Calvin Ridley is not worth this contract, but cost of doing business, what I need to do, the position I'm in right now, I'm signing him. And I think something that also gets lost on that isn't just the on-field value, oh, he can catch some pass, is now you bring in this receiver with the 34th pick, let's just say. My guy, my dream guy, A.D. Mitchell. You probably haven't heard of him yet. He's my fall-in-love-with wide receiver, going to be a stud in the NFL out
where,
of Texas.
I don't know
Texas.
Where.
He's the other guy out of Texas. Everybody's icky baluki over the 4-2-140 guy, Worthy. The better receiver is Mitchell. Anyway, details. You draft him. But if he comes here behind $60 million guaranteed Calvin Ridley, almost regardless of what he does, he's not the story. Right. The story's Calvin Ridley for a year or two. Good or bad. Oh, you got return on investment. He's a 1,300-yard receiver. He wasn't. Or, why does Calvin Ridley only have 600 yards? He sucks. You blew the money, blah, blah. The focus is over there. That allows Mitchell, or insert receiver name here, to have a little time. He doesn't have to be N'Keal Harry, where three practices in, you're like, ooh, slow feet, bad hands, fat, out of can't run routes. No, the focus will be like, and I think there's value in that, to having some of those veteran sort of shiny objects that take the pressure off of these young guys that are going to be now. The way it looks now, they're going to be expected to just slide. Cole Strange. If Cole Strange had developed behind the scenes, behind Shaq Mason, different story, right? But you took this guy out of Tennessee Chattanooga to fill a hole that you created, and now you're like, huh, he doesn't really look that good. He kind of sucks. He looks like a lower-level football developmental prospect that you threw into the starting lineup, right?
And who was the director of college scouting when they took Cole Strange in the first round?
The director of college scouting. Is that Elliot Wolf?
I believe it was Matt Groh, right?
Well, Elliot... No, Matt Groh is director of player personnel.
So, Elliot Wolf, Matt Groh.
He has the better title and the lesser role now.
Got it. The people that are in charge were in the room when they took Cole Strange.
Yeah.
And Bill Belichick and the Patriots would love to tell you about how important value.
Yeah.
You have to maintain it. Mm-hmm. Because if you set a price and it's not the reality, then your whole system of your value chart is in disarray.
Correct.
So, they took a guy that would have been there in the third round or the first round. Why?
Well, I don't know where they had him. I mean,
okay, but wrong. Where they have him is not relevant. Where the value is,
right?
The market dictates it, not the Patriots. So the market dictates that he's a third round pick.
Well, but we don't know that. Like, I was told that with every pick they've ever taken too early, and then they float these things. San Francisco actually had him as the 32nd best prospect, or
okay,
they love to fluff those up.
I'm telling you that. Cole Strange was not a first-round talent.
I don't know if that's true or not true.
Okay.
Because you just said it only takes one. It's like I don't know the other 31 teams' draft boards. There might be another Belichick out there.
The director of college scouting was Cameron Williams.
Yes.
But Groh and Wolf were on
Groh and Wolf were the leaders.
Thank you, Joe.
But my example for you would be, if you probably don't remember this, a few years ago, James Carpenter was drafted in the first round by
Ohio State?
No, Alabama. And they accidentally had, literally when he was drafted, Nick Saban is on camera in the green room, I think with another player. And boom, James Carpenter is the pick, Seahawks. And Nick Saban goes, in the first round? Like on camera, they catch his own college coach saying, wait, that guy's going in the first. So, like,
I'm not
value,
saying that no other team has made a bad first round pick on a guy that shouldn't have been there. I'm telling you that Cole Strange was not a first round talent.
And I can tell you that now, and I can tell you I believe that. But again, it only takes – I don't know how you can speak for 31 teams.
So you
not
think,
that I'm defending Belichick. No, but it was a bad pick.
Using your logic, there's never been a player that shouldn't have been taken in the first round.
What do you mean?
Using your logic,
no,
there has never –
there's plenty of players all teams say are seventh-round picks. I don't know individually where the divide is.
Andy, if a team takes a player in the first round
– he's a first-round pick.
Right.
The league has valued him as a first-round pick.
Okay, so then what's the point of talking about any draft if everybody's drafted where they should be?
But you're saying that basically the Patriots were the only team that would ever have considered him in the first round.
Yes.
I don't know if that's true.
Right.
I have no idea.
I haven't talked to anybody. I'm telling you that the reaction, the unison and the uniform of the reaction from all walks of the NFL, from Snead laughing in the Rams to the reaction of every pontificator on every network, which is like 16 now covering the draft, we're sitting there like, huh?
Well, there were others, but again, I don't believe them necessarily.
Who's
there were
others?
No, there were. I can remember it at the time because I scarfed.
And
snarfed,
we wasted our time
scarfed.
Watching him thinking he'd be at 104, hey, maybe.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's while we're under the bridge.
That was payback for Bill Belichick saying, look over there. It's effing McVay up. We went zone.
Well,
and then Robert decided to keep him as coach, and everything fell apart thereafter.
Well, McVay also kind of genuflecting, didn't do himself any favors prior to that game.
He was in awe. Maybe he should have studied tape a little more than just studying Belichick's accomplishments.
617-779-7937. We got a little waylaid there. Patriots offseason is ongoing. It is a massive dumpster fire. We'll take your thoughts. Are you in? Are you out? What can they do this offseason? And we'll react further to the final episodes of The Dynasty, which were released last night. But first, here's Joe Braverman with what's trending.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I remember walking off the field that night, just really confused. That was the biggest game of our lives at the moment, and Malcolm's not on the field. F***ing off still today. I mean, we played our asses off. Tom threw for 500 plus yards, which in a Super Bowl had never been done. We're out there literally putting our bodies on the line, our heads on the line for our, you know, our friends, our family, our teammates. And to not get an explanation, like, I felt like we got cheated a little bit, honestly. And I don't feel bad saying that.
All right. St. Patrick's Day weekend here in Boston. Big parade in Southie tomorrow. See your drunk asses around my neighborhood. Love it. And
literally?
How many asses
will you see tomorrow?
I mean, tomorrow, if it's a warm, even in the cold days, people don't really dress warm. You see where the Chiefs fans that were out in the elements were, like, had to get, like, a amputation or
yep.
something?
Well, then there's the other fans that died, and now they think it might have been mad.
Oh, that was a wild scene. The
druggings and the buddies and the chemist and the...
Of all the things that have happened this offseason, just personally, the Andy Reid and the governor of Missouri commuting the sentence of Britt Reid is about as loathsome as it gets. And it's a guy, as a father, who doesn't get it at all still, that you have to stop enabling and certain things occur. But to say nothing of the fact that the Chiefs organization employed Britt Reid, he was a linebackers coach. 3 hours after the crash, he still had a blood alcohol level double the legal limit, which means if you digest a drink an hour is what the blood alcohol is. So you could really make that 5 times the legal limit when he was driving, and he was departing the Chiefs facility.
Yep.
So in the ordinary course of action, if you're at a bar or liquor establishment consuming alcohol, then there is a potential liability, which I don't think should be the case. I think it should be the person's responsibility. I don't think that it should be the business, but that's not the rules. I don't make the rules. The rules are that if you're consuming alcohol at your workplace and they know about it and you drive and ruin the life of an innocent four-year-old girl, and then you try and pay them off, and then you get the thing commuted. That has nothing to do with the fact that the NFL has its own rules. We know Roger Goodell has made that abundantly clear. There are your rules, and I am the czar of everything else. And that they, quote, told, I think it was Florio's been the one, like, thorn in the side on this that hasn't just brushed it under the rug. But, you know, they've been looking into it now, you know, what they could be possibly looking into. It's just another example of that organization, for whatever reason, despite the fact that it's really seedy and they are really good and they're always in the news. It's all good news. Even if it's Travis Kelce and it's some nonsensical relationship with Taylor Swift, it's always positive.
Winning covers most. It's tough.
But not with the Patriots.
Kind of did, though.
What are you talking about?
Scandals went away, other than Tom getting hung
scandals
out to dry.
Scandals went away. So Patriots.
Spygate just went away.
What are you?
The reality is Spygate went away.
Do you follow football outside of 128?
I did. It did not affect them at all.
Affect them. I'm not saying
they went undefeated.
Them.
So, like, it wasn't really that big a deal.
Wait, I'm not saying
it was a slap on the wrist.
No, I'm not talking about, like,
Tom got hung out to dry, and I think that was the beginning of the end.
But the Chiefs, I'm not saying that their team would lose or win or be suffering. I'm not talking about that.
Oh,
I'm talking about the coverage of the Chiefs. How many people at ESPN had to apologize, like, every 2 years about saying something that was inaccurate about the Spygate scandal?
Because the Chiefs are nice and the Patriots were dinks.
Okay, so I'm telling you that Andy Reid did interviews last week. He did the car wash. He went on with Coward and Rich Eisen and Dan and all Dan Patrick, all these guys. And it was, I think, like 72 hours after the governor had commuted the sentence of his son. And it wasn't even mentioned. I'm sorry, that's not an interview. That's a fluff piece.
Sure, I agree. But part of it is just flat out people like them. People, he's a nice guy. They're a nice this, you know, Patrick, whatever.
Who, right. Do you think
they didn't like the Patriots for 20 years?
Do you think if a family member of Rich Eisen was forced to be in a wheelchair the rest of their life by a guy that was a nice guy but happened to be drunk and hit her, that he would be happy about it?
No.
Okay, so the nice guy thing shouldn't be relevant to the fact that.
But that's the reality, right? Like, we know that the world, people that smile, say your name, like, they cull favor with people.
It's true, and you could do it. We don't have to do it now, but Andy Reid, you can make the argument, is this generation's best coach.
I've been making it for multiple years, and my argument has gotten easier by the year.
And I think Robert Kraft would endorse that argument.
Probably at this point.
So that
he
was,
shouldn't, although he's doing a lot of things he shouldn't do. So.
And I said this yesterday with the Greg Hill Show, in for Greg, that of the three, Tom, Bill, and Robert, who gave the least and got the most financially?
Gave the least and got
the most. Like, sacrificed the least and got the most.
Bill Belichick.
I think it was Robert Kraft.
Because I think Bill Belichick was borderline unhirable. And he got hired and turned that into $20 million a year for the next 20 years.
But I would say.
So somewhere in the range of $400 million and half the island in Nantucket came for a guy who, if he didn't have Robert, I don't know who wants him, who enjoys him, who takes him, who accepts him. Robert obviously turned $175 million into however many billion dollars it is now. Like that. But he was a businessman. He was kind of climbing the ladder, paper, football, parking lots, stadiums. Bill had nosedived in his career and might have been unhirable to anyone other than Robert.
Right. But also,
now he's the greatest.
This is such an odd position for me. But Bill made the decision that was able to create this two decade run. If he doesn't start Brady in the Super Bowl, we're all it's totally different.
Mo Lewis made the decision.
Okay, but still, Drew came in, won the AFC Championship game in Pittsburgh.
If you watched the Dynasty, he did. If you watched the game, the special teams won.
Listen,
you hate that I remember details.
No, I hate Drew Bledsoe. I'm not trying to defend him. I'm just saying that the team won. He did throw a touchdown pass to David Patton that they threw again in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
He did throw a backwards pass that nearly got intercepted and was really bad. He's awful in the pocket. Scott Pioli said he was like a wildebeest, and I would say I agree. He sucks. Without Ben Coates to lock in on, he was kind of a disaster. All true. But that week, that decision, Tuesday night at the suite in whatever hotel they were in New Orleans, set the foundation
Fairmont, right?
For the rest of my life as a football fan in New England. If he starts Drew Bledsoe, which Brady was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
High ankle sprain. Only 1 week after 9/11 in between the title game and the Super Bowl. It was the risk-free take is to start the veteran who's healthy and just played in the AFC Championship. He started Tom Brady, and that is the ballsiest, best decision of any coach of any team in Boston in my lifetime. Without that, none of this happens.
So you think that's ballsier than sticking with Brady during the regular season?
Yes, because did anybody think when the Patriots, so I believe it was, what, they were 5-5 maybe?
Yeah, oh yeah, 5-5.
So they had just beaten the great touchdown catch by Wiggy and to cause overtime, and then Vinatieri. I was at that game with Belichick's kids. That was the middle of the season.
How come you didn't get a coaching job?
Because I only had a 2.9 at Rivers. Actually, I don't even know my high school GPA. It probably wasn't great. But either way, that game, they come back down 10 points in the fourth quarter. Brady's first real fourth quarter comeback. They beat Flutie, beat the Chargers. At that point, let's say Drew comes in, and what's the ceiling of the team? 8-8? Like, what are we talking about? What's on the line at that point of the season where Drew was lost a lot of blood, was in the ICU, near-death experience with all the collapsed lung and everything else? So if Drew comes back and you choose him over Tom, well, now you have Tom. He's a guy that's at least a very good backup, could be a potential fringe starter in the NFL, and Drew's making $100 million. You go 7-9, and it's better than 5-11 the year before. We're moving in the right direction.
What if you go 5-11 for the second straight year?
So you lose six straight?
Yeah. Okay. You put Drew back in the lineup, and you lose six. You were 0-2 with Drew, right? So you could lose six straight.
I would say if you lose three in a row, you're probably putting Tom back in, and who knows where you are. However, if you chose Drew Bledsoe in that Super Bowl, and if you did what he did in choosing Tom Brady, and Brady sucks, and you lose the game, and Drew was healthy, and Brady looked hobbled, that is something that sticks forever. And who knows what goes on? Because at that point, is then Drew back to be the starter? Is Tom the guy? There was more on the line there than at any point in the regular season, because you are a win away from a Super Bowl. You are on the precipice of winning the first championship in the organization's history. And the guy that the owner wants is sitting on the bench. I mean, that is a tough call, and he made the right one.
It is a tough call. Like, I'm not going to pretend it's not. I think the other one was a tough call, too, because I think hindsight, careers are on the line. Legacies are on the line. We didn't know it at the time, necessarily, with Brady and Belichick and everything that would transpire afterwards. And in the Super Bowl, the little factor is, like, I'm sure Bill, what they say in one of the dynasties, like, he believes there's always a way to win a game. Like,
right, that was the castle
Sung Tzu
one.
And this different things. Like, there's right. always a way to win.
The art of war.
But the reality is they were 14-point underdogs. No one expected them to even hang. A dynasty was being born. It was a Rams dynasty, greatest show on turf. They have the old coot defense, blah, blah, blah.
Or do I pick the Pats?
So it was a personnel decision. It had nothing to do with personnel. So I do think there's a freedom in being a significant underdog there. But they were both big decisions. You had a $100 million quarterback who just won the AFC title game. Won. In quotes.
How about this? You have a $100 million quarterback that didn't lose it.
Didn't lose it. He tried at
right.
various points.
Did his best.
And thankfully, Troy Brown and Antoine Harris and all those guys on special teams carried his ass to victory. But no, that huge, I'll give you that. That's a great decision.
Yeah,
it changes history.
So for me, just to go back to the beginning of it, Robert Kraft gained the most. We all agree financially he gained the most. And I get it. When you own a business, you suffer when it fails, and you get the most when it succeeds. But in this docuseries, I watched the Butler episode, which is the latest. 9 and 10 were released last night or 2 nights ago on Apple TV.
It's all over.
And we heard Amendola there saying that he feels cheated out of a Super Bowl. And I think he chose that word purposefully when it comes to Belichick. And that, to me, was the end of me in any way. So I felt exactly as Amendola did in the aftermath of Super Bowl 52. How can a guy who says we're doing what's in the best interest of the team do that? And it wasn't a decision. People talk about this. Benching Butler is a singular decision if he's inactive. If you made Butler inactive for that game,
right.
the second 90 minutes beforehand where you hand
gone.
He's not even on the field, out of sight, out of mind. He's not crying on the sideline. Nobody sees him. He's up in the ninth floor. the fact that he was active for the Super Bowl and that he remained on the bench throughout the third and fourth quarter, as you are one stop away, not from Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or John Elway, Nick effing Foles, and the loathsome Eagles fans from winning that game. And every single series where you ran Johnson Batamosi into that secondary and allowed Butler to ride the pine was fireable every single time.
Why was he only on the field for one play during the Super Bowl?
Matt, we've talked about that.
Well, the next part is the best part. I don't know if you have it.
I didn't ask you about it.
I know he doesn't need, he's not a beat reporter who sits in front of Bill 100 days a year, but like, I enjoyed that. Like, no, he didn't. Like, I didn't ask you about it. I don't know what you're talking about, Bill, on my camera staring straight at you. That's the one piece where I gave the production people, Matt, Hamacek, credit for, he doesn't have to bow down to Bill Belichick. He's on to a different town with a different documentary in 2 weeks whenever he finishes this. I enjoyed that.
I read that as that they talked about that they wouldn't talk about it.
Oh. Yeah, no, I think that was Bill. Bill always says that. We've talked about that. I'm on the – Stacey, can you get him the transcript?
Yeah, that's the case. He did that for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I that's where
– Well, Matt Hamacek told us that they spoke for 4 to 5 hours before he agreed to sit down.
Oh, I'm not – that doesn't surprise me.
On the phone. So, anyway, who knows? Hamacek agrees.
Imagine having a 4 to 5 hour conversation with Bill Belichick.
I would rather be kicked in the nuts.
I think literally I would. I don't know – I don't talk to anybody on the phone, so this is probably a me issue as well. I'm not a phone talker.
Oh, really?
I hate talking on the phone. Like, I don't care if it's my wife, my kids, whatever. I'll be home in an hour. We can talk in person.
Can I tell you what I discovered yesterday? I was James is at the stage. He's like 20 months, so he will only nap now when I put him in the stroller and he's like locked in. Just getting him down for a nap has become just a total waste of time. It's been nice. He's like a Scandinavian baby. He'll fall asleep outside, and then I'm out. And I'm like, well, I can kill two birds. I'll exercise a bit and walk around. And I just had my headphones in, and I had them on noise canceling. And like 15 minutes into the walk after he fell asleep, like I realized I wasn't listening to anything, and it was heavenly. I just did 90 minutes walking. James is sleeping. I'm enjoying the world. And it was silent. I have never felt more at peace in my life. It was unbelievable.
I think the next step is you lose your mind.
Well, I mean, already have. McClain has the bill.
I'm going to answer the question I'm about to ask because I know you haven't, I'm sure. There's a new Adam Sandler movie. Have you seen it on Netflix?
No.
Where he's a astronaut in space by himself. Like, it's fiction, so he's deep off in some. He's probably been in the rocket for 2 years by himself, and he basically starts to lose his mind.
Yeah.
And you're not sure if he's... I think that's what would happen to you if you keep doing this for 90 minutes and 90 minutes and 90 minutes.
Do you know what all crazy people have in common? They scuba.
What?
Scuba diving creates absolute whack jobs.
Don't we have a Red Sox producer who that's what he loves to do?
That is my exhibit A. Doug Lane and my sister, both scuba. Let's go to Nate in the truck. Good morning, Nate.
Hey, good morning, guys. So sitting here waiting for the past hour, I think it all came together here to realize what direction this team's heading in. Now, give me a little bit of time here. So, mind you, they picked up Mayo, right? And he's the head coach. I think they picked up Mayo because when he was playing with us, they picked up his contract, a.k.a. retaining guys, right? So then when Mayo came and said, hey, we're going to spend some cash, but a few weeks later, they hired Elliott Wolf, correct? So there's your direction. It's the Packers' way of direction, meaning that look at their salary cap, what they have left. They're saving it to go ahead and retain guys, which the last regime with Belichick never did that. So it's going to be a long rebuild. And seeing what Minnesota did yesterday and with all those picks, the 11th and the 23rd, and possibly if they do trade for that third overall pick, they're going to get that extra first rounder. And now they're going to start building this team through the draft, like they said. So Elliott Wolf said at the combine and said, hey, look, we're going to retain our guys. He wasn't lying. They're going to retain their guys. They're not going to go ahead and go out and get the Calvin Ridleys and those guys, okay? That's just window dressing. That's the whole Red Sox window dressing thing to keep the fans interested, okay? But this is going to be a long rebuild. And you said, Curtis, also that Elliott Wolf, yeah, they're going to, if it doesn't come through for 3 to 4 years, they're going to fire him. No, they're not. They're not going to fire Mayo or Elliott Wolf because Kraft told them, said, hey, look, do what you got to do. it's going to be a long rebuild. I'm not going to fire you. Just go ahead and get this team back to par. And they're heading in that different direction what they have for the past 20 years.
Yeah.
There's a lot there, and it seems like a lot of assumptions.
Yeah, a lot of assumptions. But I will say, of course, it's window dressing. And the fact that here's the reason why it's so easy, whether it's John Henry or Sam Kennedy or the Patriots and the media of each team, that media, the beat writers of each team to do. The agents all look good if there are more great offers perceived to be out there for clients they represent. So in other words, I don't know who Calvin Ridley's agent is, but let's say I called him today and I said, hey, Bill, did the Patriots really offer $41 million guaranteed? He only loses if he tells me, you know, actually it was really $25 million, because then he betrays the trust of a team he's going to have to talk to.
Right.
And he's going to be appearing to be falsifying the value of what he presented to the client in the Titans as what the other competitive offers were.
He makes everybody look bad.
So
that team that didn't get him, the team that gets him, the player who didn't have the interest that everybody thought he had, everybody looks bad.
Right. So that's why it's so often done by organizations and it's so rarely corrected by media, because nobody wants to be the one correcting something that makes all the people they have to deal with look bad.
Right.
So it's the easiest trick in the book. It's like on a scratchy. By the way, I played Keno for the first time in my life yesterday. What a whirlwind.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, no, I'm slippery slope.
Don't addictive personalities have addictive personalities?
Well, that's why I'm here today. I got to pay the bills. But no, the numbers are always close on a scratch ticket, right? Like
always.
The $1 million.
I need a four, I get a two, a three, a right. five. Oh, the four is going to be next. Right. It's never next.
It doesn't matter how close it was. They do that on purpose. It's not like you're near the plate. It's the four is a million. 1 4 is not. So they do all of this to make it appear right. like things are better than they are.
I keep thinking about where we started our conversation today, about this idea that we kind of thought Belichick was the one with restraint or value-based, blah, 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 but now it's becoming clearer that maybe that's a Kraft-level thing. What's that famous line from that movie? I should probably know the movie if I'm going to say the line. But something about, like, the devil's greatest accomplishment was...
The devil's greatest feat was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Does that apply to this? Does that tie into Robert Kraft's, like, his greatest accomplishment is making everybody believe it was somebody else when there was negative things happening?
Right. Or devil's greatest accomplishment was convincing the world he didn't exist? One of the two, but yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Doesn't that apply to this?
Of like, course.
Robert just kind of oversees everything. If it's good, it's me. If it's bad, it's them. Until now where, oh, wait, the bad might have been him too. And I'm not saying that's like this awful, shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. He accomplished what he accomplished in the role that he was in, correct? Like, we can't take away titles.
Who, Robert Kraft?
Yeah.
Of course.
Like, whatever he did, because I think the point of this whole damn 10-part poorly made series was to say, Robert kept it together longer than it should have been kept together. Right? Like, if you were writing sort of the summary of what they hoped to accomplish, I feel like that was supposed to be the theme.
Right.
And I agree with that. I've always agreed with that. My pushback has always been on the Aaron Rodgers thing. Can you imagine if Aaron Rodgers were the Patriots quarterback? Yeah, it would have ended like 10 years earlier. No way he and Bill stick together as long as they did.
The centrifugal force of which the organization's winning dynamic orbited was Tom Brady.
No, but keeping it together.
No, that's what kept it together. Tom Brady was not.
I disagree.
Tom Brady has always been malleable. He's always been able to be led.
Oh, I agree with that. He's also had a big ego. One of the great things is that he didn't
have a big ego. What does that have to do with
anything? So once you have a big ego, you think you become deserved. Like, you deserve certain things. And when they're not given, I think Robert kept it together longer than he should have. You give Robert no credit. It's all Tom. That's your takeaway from everything that's happened yet again.
Tom Brady.
It's all Tom.
Tom Brady should have gotten a 5-year deal after Super Bowl 51 that ensured he was a Patriot for life.
Sure, fine. Okay.
And if that's done, none of this is talked about. And that's Robert at the end of the day.
But Robert had already done that. What was the year that they did the contract on the flight back from California?
That was years prior.
Exactly. What if he doesn't do that? So he plays a role keeping them together. And manipulating Bill and manipulating Guerrero and manipulating if you don't think Robert played any positive role in this dynasty.
I didn't say that. I didn't say
you
no
just said
positive.
The world revolves around Tom, which
right.
is a common theme now, which is incorrect in my opinion.
Okay.
He's a really good quarterback who did really good things.
He was
molded by Bill, he was kept together by Robert.
Okay. Name me a more selfless superstar in the history of the NFL.
Do you mean externally or internally? Reality or fiction?
I mean,
because I can tell you the belief externally is, sure, it's Tom Brady. I don't believe it, but.
Okay, so who do you think sacrificed more for an organization at the top of their game than Tom Brady?
I wish you had asked me this off the air.
It just came to me. Peyton Manning, of course not. Aaron Rodgers, of course not. I'm talking about.
I agree. There's plenty.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes making $45 million a year. Josh Allen making $45 million a year. Herbert's already making $50 million a year.
No, that's a good question.
There's never been anybody in the same stratosphere.
I need to think about it.
Because you look at what he did and what he meant and what we know in hindsight. What he tolerated in telling Bill Belichick to coach him hard because it made everybody else fall in line.
Until he didn't want that anymore.
Until he benched Butler and he saw the head coach.
I don't know when it happened.
That's when it happened, I believe.
I think it happened earlier.
He walked off the field.
I think Giselle arrived.
He walked off the field in Minneapolis and he was seen mouthing or saying, I'm effing done with this guy.
Yeah.
And I would have been too.
See, I think it happened much earlier. Though.
And that's
I think Giselle and Deflategate were the two issues that really pushed him in that direction. Now, there may have been the final straw. He might have been the camel in the back broke with Butler. That's fine. But don't tell me Giselle didn't change the way Tom looked at things.
Of course, but that was cool.
And don't tell me the way the team rallied around Bill and ostracized Tom during their scandals didn't change things.
We're going to get to that. I'll answer that question. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. Is
Robert Kraft, I believe.
Yep, Robert Kraft. And 617-779-7937. Up, text from Ken. Let's see here. 11 a.m., the Bland manager live from...
Tell us how BP went?
Right, JetBlue Park.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Then the rosary beads, count them, one, two, three, fell apart as they hit the floor. In a garb of black, we must pay respect to the color we're born to mourn. Walk away, me boys, walk away, me boys, but mourning will be free. Break the golden tear from your mother dear, raise what's left of the flag for me.
Oh, man. You know what, Andy? My time at BC was not great. I was a drunken buffoon. Now I'm just a buffoon. But listening to some good Irish tunes brings me right back to Alumni Stadium when we had a guy named Matt Ryan who was good. Could those days be returning to the heights with Bill O'Brien? We'll see. April 12th, spring game, about a month away.
How about a question for you?
What's that?
That I never thought I'd ask. Who'll be in the playoffs first? Bill O'Brien's Boston College Eagles or Gerard Mayo's New England Patriots?
Holy cow. Andy, good work. I got to say, BC, I don't see Bill O'Brien. Unless they, every year in the NFL, I don't see Gerard Mayo with this roster. Look at the division this year. Like, the Patriots have gotten worse, right? We agree?
Yes.
Okay, so the Patriots are worse. By the way, we haven't even mentioned it yet. Jacoby Brissett seems like a really good dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, nice guy, quality human being. Like, I have nothing personal against him. I don't know him, but everything I know about him seems like someone I'd like. What an uninspiring, boring, middling, awful decision to make him your presumptive starter as you wait for Drake May. Like,
well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think he's the perfect guy for the job. Assuming you're getting Drake May. Now, I've done a lot of assuming this offseason. I assumed they'd spend money. I assumed they'd get a tackle. I assumed they'd get a receiver, and I'm an ass. Right, that's where we've ended that.
Yep.
Assuming they get Drake May or Jaden Daniels at three, I love Jacoby Brissett because I think he's the perfect guy to handle it if he has to start a month and then hand it over. Like, I don't think there'll be any Ryan Fitzpatrick where he really wants to keep the job. I think he's going into this eyes wide open.
Yeah, you know what I love at the highest level of athletic competition? People that aren't competitive. I think that's a great trait to have.
It is in this situation.
Okay.
So you'd rather have Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, I'd rather have a better player.
I wouldn't, because that's just going to be bad. Bad, bad, bad.
Yeah,
that's going to be a slippery slope towards quarterback problems. You've had enough quarterback problems for 4 years.
Okay.
You need quarterback stability, and the best place to get stability is the number three pick, and then when he's ready, he takes over like Justin Herbert from Tyrod Taylor, and everybody goes, oh, we're good.
So you want stability from the quarterback that's been on six teams in 6 years?
No, the stability comes from May.
Oh, okay. Because if you got a really good quarterback and he was really good,
oh, if
you
don't
wait.
Want to draft a quarterback, but who's a really good quarterback that was available? There wasn't one. I mean, if you want to argue Kirk Cousins, now I don't even think he's really good. I think he's good.
Well, you could trade for people. I mean, there's a million different directions you can go.
To get a really good quarterback.
I don't mean real. I mean, a guy that has a higher ceiling that might actually be someone that's worth investing in long term. Jacoby Brissett.
You want Justin Fields?
Yes, over Jacoby Brissett, definitely.
Okay. I mean, that's an argument. I would disagree. And if I were doing that, I wouldn't be drafting May. I'd be saying I like Justin Fields and think he has a future in the NFL.
If I were the Patriots, I would have traded a fourth for Keenan Allen, a fifth for Justin Fields, and I'd trade Marvin Harrison at number three and build around the defense and see where you are.
Looking for a quarterback after you decide Justin Fields is just a guy that runs around.
Yep.
He's not actually an NFL quarterback.
We'll see. But at least he's not a guy that's looking forward to sitting on the bench.
I like that plan. Looking forward to sitting behind a franchise quarterback for me is the dream of my Patriots.
If you want to do that, we should get my man Brian Hoyer. He's available.
I would take Brian Hoyer, except I don't know if he's a dink or not.
Brian Hoyer might be a dink.
Well, I mean, Johnny Manziel certainly believes he's a dink.
Oh, I missed
now,
this. What happened?
Dink on dink. Oh, he, like, Hoyer wouldn't talk to him. Hoyer would sit at the head of the table in Cleveland and just, like, be douchey to him and not answer questions. I mean, like, you answered that. I answered that already or something. Hoyer has denied it.
Brian Hoyer. The quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. I have to tell you, it is the most remarkable thing. That was Sausage, Craig Sawich, and myself doing a post-show podcast where I am bombed off my ass.
Can't tell at all.
You could smell the gin in the drop. And that was in 2016. Yeah. That was like March of 2016, 3 weeks or so before I left. That drop has sustained for almost a decade. Brian Hoyer will not go away.
No.
It is
remarkable
amazing.
Remarkable career.
Like, it's just, like, I feel like the world needs that drop. Let me hear it one more time, if you have it, Joe. It just is
Brian Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer.
The quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
How many syllables are in quarterback? Anyway.
Joe Namath is like, that guy sounds funny.
I tried to kiss him like I thought he was Susie Colbert. Someone I'd always want to kiss. Ken Laird joins us next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.